existence of our people and a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to over.
Anything I have to say about Alan Burton,
and nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good.
Who rubs their hands and resembles rats?
No
reason. Who owns the banks and wears little hats?
What reason do you need to be shown?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Why do you still hold these Nazi ideas?
You got any better ones?
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
$6 million Jews wickedly killed in gas chambers.
It's another show. Always bad for something, but we did.
Kaiser, Austria, Moravia, Kaunas, under Warsaw, Lubeck, post-Napoleon, and Bremen to his clans. Zonic in the borderlands, Mississippi, U.S. Grant, Alexander, Ottomans, and even Soviets. Italy as Judgment Day, Germany and Uncle A, Egypt under King Farouk, Suwadi and Iraq, Suez and Algeria, Gaddafi and Libya, Poland versus Namibia, I mean we always bounce back.
Imagine an advanced future where you can travel miles in mere minutes while sitting perfectly still using an incredible horseless travel chamber.
Ooh.
But select travel chambers have a crazed man with a knife who's allowed to stab you.
Why?
That's how the future works.
No, you can't just say, that's how the future works.
A dystopian story needs to have some kind of logic to it.
Oh?
Also, if people in the travel chamber can do whatever they want, they would simply stop the crazed man first.
You can't do whatever you want. The crazed man can do whatever he wants. You would go to jail.
What? Why?
Well, then someone would likely kill the crazed man while he attacked.
Not if he's African.
Not if... What?
You can never, under any circumstances, stop an African from hurting you on the horseless travel chamber, or you go to jail.
Come up with something realistic.
Here's another wild tale. In the same future, you can travel on an incredible flying machine that soars through the skies. Ooh. But you have to let them rub you all over your body before you can go on the flying machine. All over your body.
Why would you have to let them rub all over your body?
Because Mohammedans wish to crash the flying machines into buildings.
So they only rub Mohammedans?
No, they would get in trouble if they did that.
Why would they get in trouble if they rub Mohammedans, but not if they rub me?
Because in the future, they hate racism.
What is racism?
It's when you treat someone differently because of their skin color. To avoid it, you're required to treat people with certain skin colors like they're incapable of doing wrong.
Lazy writing, too many plot holes.
Yes, even the most insane despot would never govern with such mad policy.
Yes, and the subjects would revolt if they did.
Oh no, in this future, every Western nation is a democracy.
Huh?
Where to believe the people choose this?
That lets women vote.
Ah. Okay, whole thing makes sense now.
And now Drew's out of my way. They traded our homes for shit, nickels and dimes that were clipped. I wasn't looking for this, but now Drew's will vacay. Your arm I was holding, red armbands, why's he showing? Hot, white, power glowing. Then we exile all the Juden. Hey, I'm loving Hitler now. 88 daily, that's my number. So call me Nazi. It's hard to look right at you, too. You call us go, yeah. So call me Nazi. So call me Nazi. Hey, I'm going wrong now. 88 daily, that's my number. So call me Nazi. It's hard to look right at you, too. You call us go. Tunnel digging grins while the same Jew names keep popping. I'm sorry, can't unsee. Look, I don't mean to be rude, but their percentage is 0.2. Got the student to conclude, hey, they all lying. Your arm I was holding, red armbands, why's he showing? Hot, white, power glowing. Then we exile all the Juden. Hey, I'm loving Hitler now. 88 daily, that's my number.
Fugazi. You know what a Fugazi is?
No, Fugazi. It's a fake.
Yeah, Fugazi, Fugazi. It's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust. It doesn't exist. It's never landed. It is no matter. It's not on the elemental chart. It's not fucking real.
Right.
Support Project Epstein Fury?
Of course. Every night I pray that my kids will fight for the Jews. Mm-hmm. But leave me alone. I've got bread and circuses to get to.
Hey man, are you glad your taxes are being sent overseas?
Dude, my wife just downloaded Hinge last night and $7 for gas? Literally wish I was chosen at this point.
Yeah. Did you hear about the school bombing?
What about the women who are forced to wear burqas? Are you antiseptic or something? You should be celebrating.
Why?
Because I know Iranians. Yeah. Unlike you.
How do you feel about sending our troops off to war again?
Oh gosh, not another damn lefty. Bro, they are 1 week away from a nuke.
Wow, scary. Quick question, do you support the Iran war?
Bro, they're going after every country that doesn't have a Rothschild banking system. And no, I'm not vaxxed.
I think I'm in love.
The Jews are God's chosen people, and the Gentiles must learn their purpose in life is to fight and die for Israel.
We bring the bow! That's what we do! We bring the bow!
Started. White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Yes, white America, white Canada. Hope Les Borey's all right. Haven't seen him join the panel yet. I know his probation was ending soon. Hopefully the Shabbos Goy didn't do anything rash. Hopefully Les is fine. We'll have to see if Dave Gahari knows anything. He should be joining us a little later after an appointment. All right. It is the Sane Asylum number 405, base Monday, March 16, 2026. Now, if I disappear, that huge storm that's given Serbian Bull and all our Midwest brothers and sisters is about to hit here with 70-plus mile an hour wind. We got a tornado warning. So my power may go out at any point, but I have a plan, which is we have one of those solar generator things that we charged up. And if the power goes out, we'll plug everything into that, and I'll be back within 5 minutes or so. So, all right, let's see what else is going on here. Do I have to say anything else? No, let's bring on the panel. If I wanted to say something else, it's gone. Hold on. Dave Gahari's here already. Dave, are you popping in for just a minute? Or let's see. I know he's driving. Maybe he's trying to get in his car. All right. In the meantime, let's go up. Hold on. Let me unmute you, James.
Now we're talking, man. Now we're talking.
Let me unmute you. Really let me unmute Pastor Eli. UK Steve's got his own. James Mason, man, how was the weekend? And what's on your mind, brother?
Well, the weekend was fantastic. I helped move a house full of furniture. Can you believe that?
Are you serious?
I am deadly serious, but I'm dog tired yesterday and today. But I did it. I can't believe it. It's amazing. But anyway, you said I'd like this opener today, and I like all your openers, and I just hope that they can be seen everywhere all the time. That's what needs to happen.
Well, I have a plan to eventually start running the openers on X each week, but just haven't gotten that far yet. But I have a plan. All right.
Do you do those yourself, Giuseppe, or do you those songs you do somebody else's?
Oh, no, no. I scour Telegram and Odyssey and BitChute and X and YouTube. I scour for little vignette contents, and then I weave them into a new narrative. That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I make a song, so yeah, but not all
okay.
of that.
Well, have you heard 99 Luftballon?
Oh, 99 Red Balloon by Nina? Yeah, I love that song, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do it in German. 99
Luftballon. The German version is way better, you're right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and you can put any images you want to that music, right? So that'd be awesome. Yeah, it's an anti-war song, so in that sense, it's an anti-Jew song.
Yeah, without a doubt, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's
for right. Sure. Okay.
So, Eli, what's on your mind? Yeah. How was your weekend? Did you get hit with weather?
Just the wind. Wind and cold is 22 degrees out here, and I thought my tent was going to blow away last night. But other than that, we survived, and my helper on the plantation here brought me a lot of firewood, so I'm burning it up as we speak. But, I understand the North is getting hit with some major blizzard, like 2 feet of snow in Wisconsin. And
actually,
Michigan,
Serbian Bull, one of our great loyal brothers and chat moderators, he's in northern Wisconsin. He's up over 3 feet probably by now.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, that's worse than Chicago. We had 2 feet of snow on two occasions. That was fun for me because I was riding my motorcycle.
You were in all that snow? That's hilarious.
Yeah, right. I figure if I fall over, I won't get hurt, right? Just get right up and keep going. But, man, has it been a horrible week for neocon Don?
Oh, my God.
He's had a horrible week.
Yep.
The Germans refused to help him open the Straits of Hormuz. Do you blame them?
Not a bit. Right. No.
The catastrophe of the fall of Mystery Babylon is occurring right before our very eyes. It's wonderful to behold.
It's really something to see. Yeah. Let's see. Now, UK Steve, are you there? You want to make your opening statement?
Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, I can. You sound great.
Yeah, thank you. Hi to you, G, and hello, panel. Hello, the audience. I've been observing lots of things to get through at the moment, but at the moment I'm looking at the UK at what a chicken shit government we've got.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
When I look at self-interest and the way they're refusing to go along with Trump, I'm sure if there was blowback, they would go along with Trump. But they know it's political suicide.
Right.
And it just shows the opportunism that's going on within not just the UK, but the EU as well, that they know that this is a losing war with Iran. They're fighting on home turf. They don't have the assets to go in because they've got heavily degraded militaries, which is part of the design to weaken Europe. And they're just looking out for themselves. So I think that we're going to be enduring high gas prices, or what we would say petrol. And I did the calculation yesterday. And I think, I don't know how much it is per gallon over in America, but I worked out over here that we're paying nearly $9 to $10 a gallon.
Holy shit, that's high.
So we're paying. I think part is this war has housed on a policy front. I'm seeing things like the Jews are calling up 450,000 reservists to invade Lebanon. The reason is their land gas.
Sure.
Yeah. Being planned for post conflict future, where whilst the US and the Goyim are fighting Iran, they're going to be fighting a war in Lebanon to steal resources and perhaps use those funds to rebuild Tel Aviv, which is being rubbleized.
Yes.
And finally, what was I going to say? I think we're heading for $6,000 gold. So this is not going to be over anytime soon. I don't think that this war is going to be over. I think the war in Lebanon to steal. And I think the question is to be or not to be for Netanyahu. I think his life, he's bet his life on it, and I haven't seen him around. I don't know if any of you lot have got any different opinions there. But until I see otherwise, it's deeply suspicious that he's not around, although I wouldn't be surprised if a Jew is in hiding. Any comments, sir?
They had him on Fox. UK Steve Fox news this morning. It looked like he was at a coffee bar. It was very deliberately done. He was just standing there looking at you, giving you a thumbs up, having a cup of coffee. But it also looked like it could well have been AI.
It was. I looked at the coffee cup, and if you look at the
2024 date, yep. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the, yeah, exactly, on the counter. But he also looks at the way he's holding the actual coffee cup, where the coffee should have been spilling out. And when they did like an AI analysis of his face, it doesn't even look like Netanyahu either.
Right. Well, let's see. I might have a picture that proves that he's...
Maybe the devil inside of him is showing through. They had to cover it up with AI.
Ground invader, no. The weak.
It won't end until the Jew is destroyed.
There you go. There's the proof he's alive. That's real for sure.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, there you go.
This is like him.
That's not coffee. That's adrenochrome.
And, of course, everybody has a left foot on their left hand. So, of course, he's alive. Right. There you go. Proof positive. All right. So, Dave Gahari, I see you're there. I think you're driving. Can you speak? And see if we can hear you, Dave, or maybe not with his.
what the hell? It's
Alvin and the Chipmunks. For some reason, it speeds up. You sound just like Alvin and the Chipmunks. That's hilarious.
Stop speeding down the road. Slow down.
Maybe drop out and come back, Dave.
Right. That's hilarious. Yeah, code language. We got to speak that code language. Okay.
That's right.
But I stepped away to find this gem. Maybe I can show it to you before I actually read it.
Here, let me let me put the full screen up so you can show. There you go. Looks like Ezra Pound to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometime the Anglo-Saxon may was our show in order to destroy themselves, to destroy their soul.
Ezra, back, resolve it.
I don't know.
Alvin.
Yeah. Well, early this morning, to a VA appointment and ran a couple errands. And I was laughing as I passed by the gas stations because there was a clip of this creature talking about how, you know, Trump, you know, he took care of everything. And we're only going to see a few cent rise in the gas prices.
Right.
And, you know, I heard Steve talking about, you know, their payments club today was $3.70. This is great. You to listen. Crazy. They're not going to know what's happening based on political point of Anglos.
Now they're begging for a ceasefire.
Yeah, you got to look at the political posturing. You can't. You know, because like you said, and many of you have said about the AI, it's just now to the point where you just don't know what's real. Right. But I just wanted to say one more thing because I'm close to home. You know, one of our audience members in Lithuania, he had asked me to reach out to Joel Davis and Tom Sewell in Australia. And I did reach out to Joel Davis, and he agreed to come on. And literally that same day, because those guys are like 16 hours ahead of Central Time.
Right.
That same day, they barged in and arrested him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I reached out to Sewell at some point, and we went back and forth, and he was very excited about being on a show with James Mason. I don't know why, but anyway. So we were talking, but of course we know what happened to Sewell's organization.
Right.
And so he kind of put a damper on coming on shows. Right. I educated him was at the end of this. And just for the fuck of it, I sent him a message yesterday during the Duke show where I have plenty of time to do other things. And, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. We have upcoming. James and I are going to do a special cast Tuesday at 6 PM Central Time is Wednesday, 10 in the morning.
Right there. Yep.
Yeah. Australia time. So we put Tuesday and Thursday in just in case something happens to Tuesday, and then we could do Thursday. And Steve and Eli, of course, who is actually the new host of this show.
How'd you guess?
I have ears. And of course, I heard something about Les not being there, and I will check him. I hope. Yeah, I know. And the prosecutor. So I'm almost in the chat. Hope you have a great show. And
hi, Dave. Okay. If you got him, tell us if it's important.
Will.
All right, Dave.
And thank you, Dave. Thank you so much. All right.
All right. Soon. Okay. Let's go to the act of story from the first one.
By email. See. Well, he was on Republic Broadcasting with me on Friday. And that must have made him very infamous.
Probably.
So
yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe the same thing happened to Les that happened to a guy in Australia. So
I didn't know you were on RPN, Eli.
Yeah, he took over for what the heck's that guy's name?
He's a real old timer. He retired. Yeah, a long time. But a patriot.
Mark Dankoff.
Mark Dankoff, right. Yeah.
Most listeners know them.
Yeah. So I've been there for maybe 5 weeks now, 5 or 6 shows so far.
They need you, Eli. You see, when you
fly
since
okay.
And then I think it's a good thing that we have some influence over there. It's good to see.
Right. Okay. So my next guest is going to be Susan Lindauer. You guys may remember her. She was big into criticizing the Jews over 9/11. She was on top of it from the very beginning. So she's very Jew savvy. So that should be a good show. But it's the world is getting wise. very slowly. But what I said, the first time I lectured a bunch of Judeo-Christians on the Jewish question, I said the Jews are not Israelites, right? And half the people right. got up and walked out, okay? And so I said to my host, okay, these Christians are going to have to suffer. When they really suffer, then they'll start asking questions. Why is right. everything going wrong? And then we'll be here giving them the right answer. So that's what's happening right now, okay? Canada, Australia, Great Britain. I don't know about Great Britain, Keir Starmer. And has he been cooperating with Trump, Steve?
Well, he'll take his orders from Nathaniel Rothschild. So
that's right.
Staying power and to try and make sure that the Ukraine war keeps going for as long as possible, because if they lose that, then that's the regime here. It really is. And to be fair, going to be the end of quite a few regimes in the EU as well. We possibly would see the collapse of the EU project.
Right. Yeah. Well, how can it be sustained? You know, I mean, it's just the global economy is collapsing. The silver prices, gold prices are escalating. Goldman Sachs is collapsing. BlackRock is collapsing. There's not much they can do. It's over.
Well, they're transmuting to sort of an open police state. So I don't think they actually care what the goyim think. I mean, just to make like a wider observation, I've never seen quite so much open lies. Usually the devil mixes truth with a bit of lies, potent, right? But when you listen to Trump, when we listen to Starmer, I mean, Starmer's been outed for knowing everything that's going on about Mandelson and his bathrobe times with Prince Andrew, Epstein's place. But I've seen so much blatant lies. It's like they almost are gaslighting the public, because the public know that they're lying, but they don't care. So I think really the glove is off the iron fist here. And I think we're just deeper into a police state, which is kind of good for us, because it will alienate the vast majority of the population, which are pretty much losing everything. I was saying, because the working class are already smashed. It's the middle class that they're going
out. Oh, yeah.
In the UK sense, because they've got mortgages. And what I'm predicting is with the reduction in employment, I'm not sure that they can stop the rise in interest rates, not without having hyperinflation. So they're between a rock and a hard place. And if you ask me, they're basically coming after people's houses here in the UK. And that will be the end of the boomers here, because the only people with money are the people who had housing before the house prices were perpetual up. And they never get to pass on those houses to their offspring anymore, because they have to sell them for care costs when they're older. And furthermore, that demographic is the highest support for Israel and the Jews. If we look at Zoomers and the under 30s, I think it's only like 10%, hardly any of them support the Jews. And I think in that sense, we're winning. But our job, really, in doing these shows is to signpost the goyim towards and to get our message out there not as far and wide as possible, to signpost them towards organization. I mean, Leslie Borey is quite on it in the sense of what's going to make or break our potency is how we're able to organize, especially against the banks. And that's ultimately what's going to come up. Now, when I'm looking at liquidity crisis, we haven't seen such an oil and energy shock since 2008.
Right.
We haven't seen such pressure on liquidity since 2008, which means the Jews, the cartels, the rich, they're leaving the sinking ship, I guess, to go to the British Virgin Islands, etc., and these offshore tax havens. But they're just sitting on their cash. They're not even loaning it out to anybody. And when we have like high inflation, the people who lose the most out of inflation are the poor, because we don't when they print off tranches of cash just to hand out with no collateral, they get the first use of that cash. Everybody else is much further down the pipeline. So I think the poor need to understand and need to have an organization that they can serve. And it is about sacrifice and service. And quite often those with nothing, I've got nothing to lose. And if they don't, if they do lose, the people in their millions are going to rip them out of their mansions, and they're going to rip their arms and legs off. And we're going to see heads on spikes here, because I think we are seeing the people rise, in a sense, doing what they can, but they lack the potency of organization, and the role of the police state is to stop organizing. And our role as analysts, commentators, and jocks is to find those leaders who are able to organize, who are based and informed, and who also know how to target the system specifically. I class myself as one of those people, because I've had such a lot of activism in my day against the banks. But if we can actually pass on ideas and tactics to these leaders and organizations, which is why I think it's such a fantastic idea to get Thomas Sewell on board, because he's one of those people who can organize, who has experience like that. Sure. Over here in Ireland, we've got Justin Barrett, who's moved all the way to our side, especially with a National Socialist leaning. We've got Norway, who's moving over to Sweden and also Iceland. There are organizations out there that do need your support, listener, that do need your donations, but also your time and effort. And they are based, and that's the key thing. So we need based people, but also we need leaders who are cunning, because it will take inventiveness and innovation to show the Jew a different trick every time, so the Jew can't adapt quick enough, because they've only got one playbook, which is the Talmud.
Right.
And if you take them out of their playbook as soon as possible, move two, move three, move four, the Jew won't know what to do, because they've got a new angle of attack at them by the Goyim, a different angle every time. And this is what we need to sort of ingrain in ourselves to pass on to the Goyim and the youth, ultimately, because it's the youth who will carry this battle, and it's for the youth that we're fighting, and they ultimately will benefit the most. So that's my take on it. There's no getting out of this. The system's coming down anyway. And we're just seeing the wounded animal retreating more and more to its redoubt, but their perimeter is shrinking. It's like the French at Dien Bien Phu. They've got gooks all around them, but the gooks have very cleverly moved in and dug in their artillery, and they're lobbing loads of artillery into a shrinking perimeter.
Right.
And no matter what the Jew does, they can't stop what's going on. So I think this is the time where the Jews decided this is an Armageddon war. I believe them. I believe when they were preaching to troops that this is an Armageddon war.
Sure.
It is their last chance. Not because perhaps God's going to come down with fire and brimstone, but what the Jew realizes is that this is their last opportunity for survival and the greater Israel project. That's right. The real deal. Because if they fail in this action, it's the end of Israel. It's the end of the EU. It's the end of the neocon Zog occupation of America, because Americans have had enough. They want America first. And I think ultimately this is music to my ears. Everything else is window dressing. But at the end of the day, I will only see victory if I see the banks go down. If I see the doors are bust down, the banks set on fire, and a transference of the right, not to print money, but to produce a currency which is backed with labor time or sufficient capital which can regenerate the economy and to a certain extent have a sense of justice, because there's a lot of people that do need payback, but they also need a bit of compensation, quite frankly, because they're going to have to get back on their feet. They're going to have to be retrained, re-educated, and be able to rebuild the country from the calamity and rubble that it's currently standing. And to be fair, I don't think all countries are going to make it, but that's only going to increase crisis telepathy. So good luck to them. Look after your nation. Look after your local community. We've got local action. Believe in yourselves. Become based. And never give in, never give up, never surrender. But go after the banks. Any comments, sir?
Absolutely. Amen.
Right, I was thinking as you're talking, what was that movie, the Guy Fawkes character?
V for Vendetta.
Yes.
V for Vendetta. To me, that was a prophetic movie, right?
Yes, right.
It shows people waking up to the fake news, but Donald Trump preempted that awakening by, I'll tell you what fake news is, right? But he's nothing but a gatekeeper. So how many gatekeepers do we have to put up with before we actually have real news, right?
Can I comment there, Eli? I was the first person to actually see that film, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was released as a premiere in the Prince Charles Theatre in London. And I think it is an MI5 bit of predictive programming there. So I think they brought that out. Lo and behold, years and years later, Charles is in power now, or so-called in power. And I think they're going to follow that slate. The question is, you know, the Goyim are not based enough to actually have... yes, they need the leaders, you see. This is why you need the leader, you need the party. And then they educate the people what they need to do, and then they can move forward as one. So I don't really look at movies as necessarily the strategy for the way forward, but I think I see them more as seeds that the Jews are planting into the Goyim to railroad them down a narrative, and then what we're going to see is Jew pull a rabbit out of the hat. What I think to do is to look further, more in depth, the more subtle view of history, to see what works against a Jew, and then pass those lessons of history onto the people. And then once that's done, and you can see a mass awareness, and I do think that's possible with the internet, then people will start to believe in each other. Then we're going to start to have faith in the Volk. That's the key thing. When we have confidence and faith in the Volk.
Yeah, Volk.
Competency in our mass action, then we're going to start to believe that we're going to win. And that's when we become truly dangerous.
Yes. Great point.
So, hey, I want to play a clip for you guys and get your thoughts on it. Now, everybody, you know, used to be, thank God, people are finally realizing that, you know, there's no such thing as Fed posting when these vile kikes can threaten to kill us. And every fucking rabbi on YouTube or X or Telegram is calling for the end of Amalek, and we're Amalek, white Europeans are Amalek. So the playing field is leveled, you know, and the kike doesn't like it. So check this out. This demon, Shlomo Greenblatt, head of the Anti-Defamation League. And let's face it, the Anti-Defamation League was created because that vile kike Leo Frank stalked, raped, beat, and murdered an innocent little 12-year-old or 13-year-old Mary Fagan. And then he lied about it. He tried to get some 65 IQ nigger to he paid him. Hey, take the hey boy, take the fall for me. I'll take care of you. And it was so obvious, so much evidence that Leo Frank did it. So the kikes for 100 years have been lying. But listen to this piece of shit. He traveled to Israel. Listen what he wants to do in America. Unbelievable. Here we go.
We've got to start doing things differently.
Hey, that's too low. Let me take a quick moment and bring up the volume a bit. All right, where is that? Here we go. Volume booster. 160 ought to be good enough. All right, let's.
We've got to start doing things differently.
That's not really louder. All right. Third time's a charm, as they say. Let's try the other volume booster. Maybe that's my problem. Let's try this one. Yeah, this one usually works. Just what we want to hear, a louder Shlomo Greenblatt, but this is just so off the chain, it's worth... So he flew to Israel, and little Nosferatu Greenblatt is not happy.
We've got to start doing things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, we need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new IDF unit, call it 8300, to lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage.
Basically, what he said is he wants these vile kikes and their tech savvy, which I think is overblown anyway, to come up with something where they can start blowing up American cell phones or something. Can you believe this piece of shit? So
That executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission.
Yeah, did that
This
work?
Is the kind you of ingenuity.
You really got all their missiles, Shlomo. You really did a great job there.
Inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. No, we can do it.
I don't know, boys. Let's start with James, then Eli, then... By the way, I got an email from Les that I hadn't seen until just while you guys were. He's okay. He's still
okay.
Rising. He's still going after signatures to get on the ballot. So he's out working today.
Good.
He's free. That's good. Yeah.
Good news.
So James, can you believe that guy? He basically goes to Israel and says, "We, that pager thing was great. We got to be able to do that everywhere." So can you imagine if those demons can start blowing up iPhones in the first world? I mean, that's what he's saying, James.
Yeah, well, if they could, they would. Next time you buy a phone or anything, I don't know what to tell you, but be damn careful.
In the room when you're sleeping.
Yeah, I had to hand it to him even then. I said, oh, man. That I got to hand it to him on that.
That was so evil. It's like Dr. Evil Genius Evil, right?
Yeah. But while I've got you, talking about people lying or doubling back on themselves, last week Trump was saying, we will accept nothing short of unconditional surrender.
Right.
And today he's saying, well, I don't know if I'm quite ready to make a deal with Iran.
Mm-hmm. Well, because Iran's turned him down like every day. Trump and Nutty A-hole, they burned through so much of their missile defense that they're it's like shooting ducks on a pond now for the Iranians. So they're trying to, please give us time to build up build more missiles so we can come back to you again. I mean, what lunatic Persian would agree to that? No one.
Yeah, no one. So I don't know. We live in interesting times.
Yes, we do.
That I do know.
Just a
comment. That's a Chinese curse, James. That's a Chinese curse.
Yeah, may we live in interesting times. Go ahead, Steve. Pop in.
The Iranians have mined about half of the Strait of Hormuz, so they're actually funneling the traffic close to the Iranian shore. So they've already mined half of that Straits of Hormuz. Number two. I saw them letting some Emirati oil through for Pakistan today, and the rumor is the Iranians have done a deal with the BRICS countries. So what they're actually doing, which is quite smart, is they're trying to accelerate the de-dollarization process.
Sure.
So I've seen I think it was Citibank in the UAE got smashed by a ballistic missile.
I saw that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 9/11 stuff on steroids, but they're going after, I think they bombed one Iranian bank, so they're going after all the banks in the Middle East. So not only have they destroyed pretty much most of the US bases in the Middle East that they can reach, but they're actually going after the financial infrastructure, which I think is actually quite potent.
Smart, yeah.
Number two is they're bringing out the new this new Khomeini Homina Missile 5. That's how it's
called. Homina.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't pronounce it. But it's the new fifth generation missile, and it's got a one-ton warhead. And so these are the big guns that are coming out. You don't want to be getting hit by one of these missiles. And I'm seeing all these skyscrapers being hit because they've moved out the troops and the CIA stations from the bases, which are getting pummeled, into hotels, thinking they can hide, amongst the civilians. But the Iranians have got people on the ground, and they've just retargeted those hotels and those skyscrapers, and they're getting hit too. So there's no way of opening those Straits of Hormuz without getting involved in a turkey shoot. And number two, I've seen an aircraft carrier in the Suez Canal, just after the Suez Canal, and it can't get past the Houthis either, because they're saying if we see an aircraft carrier try to go through, that's going to get blasted as well. So they're having to stand off They're using standoff munitions, mainly cruise missiles and B-52s. The air defense is still up. They're using old footage of fighters bombing the shores, trying to make out like they've taken out the shoreline air defense. They haven't. So there's a lot of fake media out there that they're pushing that we have to be aware of. And we have to check each bit of media if it has geopolitical significance. And that was the only case I've seen them of airplanes roaming around Iranian airspace as if they've got aerial supremacy. No, they don't. Absolutely don't. And they don't in Iraq either. So all the airplanes, if you look at the airplane maps, they're avoiding Iraqi airspace because the Iranians have flooded man pads into Iraq. So yeah, just be aware. There's no way you can win. And they're saying now they're going to invade with the ground force as well, the Marine Expeditionary Unit. And it's 5,000 troops. Good luck with that. Two, you've got to get the troop carrier into position to invade. And then it's just going to get ballistic missiles at the end of the day. We have very heavy ballistic missiles at that. Unless they're highly mobile, unless you've got a land route somehow with logistics, I really don't see a land campaign being feasible, let alone getting into Iran and fighting a guerrilla partisan war in the mountains there. And didn't they try that with Afghanistan? Go ahead.
Well, exactly. And, yep. You know, it is just one sec, Eli, then I'll turn over to you. Iran is even more fortified than Afghanistan. It's like a bunch of natural fortified castles everywhere in these mountains. There's no way. And Iran knows everything that's going on in their borders. Their radar and their monitoring was not completely destroyed. So you show up with those 5,000 swinging dicks, G.I. Joes, they're going to be wiped out easily. I mean, it's not even going to be – it's going to be a slaughter. School, go ahead, Eli.
Yeah. Well, Steve was just giving me an idea for how do we attack the banks. You get these little drones, right? You get your with your joystick, right? It doesn't have to. It's not a weapon, but you just fly it into a bank window and terrify the hell out of the Jew banksters, right? It'll create such a terror. It'll create such terror that they'll run all over themselves trying to get into the elevators, right? And it won't cost us much money either, okay?
There's another good one, Eli. I just wanted to interrupt there.
Okay.
There's another good idea, which is Buy Nothing Day. If everybody actually walks into the bank, withdraws all their money in their bank account for one day, yeah, does that simultaneously. If people go and just do nothing commercial, like don't go into a shop, don't buy anything, just go for a walk in nature, it will collapse the system overnight.
Yes.
You know, I've said for years, Steve and Eli, that they should identify one kike bank and do that, put them out of business, but not all immediately. Choose one kike-owned company, put them out of business just to show the power that the masses
one
can wield when they're
– Yes.
I've said that forever. Go
ahead. Yes.
Confidence.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, boycott, but selective boycott, because you can't boycott all the corporations at the same time. So you just pick a company like Shell. Shell is owned by the Rothschilds.
Yeah.
So boycott Shell until it goes out of business, right? It's a peaceful strategy. We have to outsmart. Who's that kike that was saying that we're very inventive people? That we have to outsmart the Goyim.
Jonathan Greenblatt, the head of the ADO.
Yeah, Jonathan Greenblatt, right, yeah. So they're not intelligent. They have the, as Steve said, they have the same script. They've been following the same script since Cain was kicked out of the garden. It's just deception, 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 right? But we're the ones who invent all the technology that they steal from us to attack us with, you know? So,
yep.
And what Iran is doing, they're using low tech, what are those? Those drones have like a lawnmower engine.
Just about, yeah. They're super cheap to make. They're spending $10,000 to destroy $5 million high tech stuff. Right. It's brilliant. And did you guys notice that they're so savvy and canny in how they identify the weakness of the American forces, that they're not going to try and take out those high-tech bombers. They're taking out the refuelers. They've shot down right. like five or six of them, and they can't even go into Iraq anymore. They'll just get shot down. So these right. Persians are very savvy warriors.
Well, they're mainly white. They're smart.
Yes, right.
You know,
of course.
They're not Arabs. You insult them if you call them an Arab.
I never
right,
would.
The Persians are descended from Aram, who are the cousins of the Israelites. They're
well,
white people,
Iran right? means first Aryan, doesn't it? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I was the first one to run.
So, yeah, Iran.
Whoa.
Iran so far away.
Yeah, right. But they're outsmarting. They're outsmarting. They've been preparing for 20 years. They have
they're
motivation.
Very cool.
They have
very cool and courageous as well. They're cool and defiant.
That's right.
That's what we. That's
yeah,
what we
exactly. Do. They're not like
hey
a ghost.
I got Les on the line.
All right, Leslie.
Yeah. Oh, what's heard?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the phone to the mic and let me know if you can hear it over James's cuckoo clock.
It's a great clock, though. At least we know it's close to the top of the hour.
And if not, I'm going to put him on the speaker. Here he goes. Go ahead, Les. Okay.
Hey, I can hear him. Let me see if I can.
I can. It's weak, but I hear him.
All right. So hold on, Les. Hold on. I'm going to put him on the speaker. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Les.
Okay.
Yep, that's better. We can
Much
hear
Much better.
Giuseppe, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Looking at a tornado here. It might lose power any moment.
I can say to all the regulars and all the people watching, everybody in the chat. I'm in Toronto right now, just kind of walking, kind of huffing and puffing a bit. Just kind of walking back to the truck to reset parking. We're trying to get into this by-election. We're getting pretty close now. Basically, we're just going to go for some of these extra signatures now to make sure we have enough. We're almost at the total now that we need. But I'm just going to keep going until we fill these sheets, I think. We'll see how that works out, though. It's cost a bit of money to get here, not a bit of time, but, time I got, money I don't have, so... You know, we're going to try and economize what we do have to get good results here. It's interesting riding. I mean, it's a real hard left riding, it seems. I'm creating a workers' platform, which on one side is good, but they've brought in these kind of weird ideologies and tried to implant them into the working people's heads, right? These, sexual disorientation policies, you know, the whole nine yards. We talk about this stuff all the time. So, you know, this is going to be interesting trying to... to work our way through all this bullshit, but we'll see. But I think everybody seems to be responding decently to our economic policies because everybody wants a better standard of living. But some people are still hung up with other things that we don't believe in or other things that we do believe in that they disagree with, right? So, it's hard to get around these things sometimes with people. They just can't overlook things that will save their lives for things that, offend them. It's just a bit of a big problem. I'm just jumping in the truck right now, so it should be a little quieter. And there we go. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, so our first attempt to get into a building failed. Apparently, we have to get written permission from the condo staff, but everybody else seems to be letting us in for the most part. We only had a couple of issues getting hung up on entry to buildings. It's nice to tuck into an apartment building because it's a lot warmer in there, and there's a lot of people concentrated in one area. Although, I've got to say, in this riding, the street is pretty awesome. Like, you can get a lot of signatures on the streets. I've been out in the rain and the sleet getting our signatures and getting our papers a bit messy, which is kind of a pain. I try not to do that. I keep my paperwork in good order, but, you know, practicality before, fashion, I guess you'd say. So they're going to get some unfashionable-looking piece of paper back, but hopefully with the proper signatures and, addresses and things like that on them, and hopefully all the people that signed were actually citizens. Yep. So we're going to try. I might, for the first time ever, I might try to fill all the sheets instead of just settling for like 120 signatures or 130 or something like that. So basically, I should probably get going pretty soon. We just sat back in the truck. I'm going to move it a couple feet, and then that resets our parking. And then we've got our eye on another building, and we'll see if we can get into that. It looks like if we get in there, it's big enough where that should keep us busy for a couple hours, right? So hopefully we'll have everything we need by the time we leave that building. Anyway. I'll let you guys go. And Dave, thank you very much for contacting me. What a pleasure it's been, an unexpected pleasure to hear from you guys. And I hope to be on the show live with you guys again in person, like on camera, In the next little
you're
while,
better.
It's Wednesday, but more than likely it'll be Friday, which is kind of ironic because Friday's going to be a nice day, but it's a good broadcast day for us. I don't want to miss too many hours of being in contact with the public. But first things first, everyone, we've got to get into this election, and there will be kvetching. There's no doubt about it. But, hey, some people, they signed our sheets too, right? So, hey, I got to say, hats off to the people who signed, even if they're Jewish. I don't care as long as they signed. I don't think any of these guys were eating children in the backyard or anything like that. So I don't think we did a bad thing there. I think they just wanted to help us, and I'm appreciative to everyone's signature in this riding, right? So we'll see what happens. They're going to be a good representation, a good representative for all of us guys too, with all of us people that have a similar mind. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah. Can you hear us? Les, can you hear us?
Yeah. Les. Yeah. You know, Les can't hear you guys. So if you have any questions, let me know and I'll tell him.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay. Great. Yeah. Well, hey, Dave, say this to Les. Tell him that, as we well know, the Jew is such a nice person that if they're eating kids in the backyard, they'd invite him.
Yeah. She said, as we know, the Jew is such a nice person that if they're eating kids in the backyard, they'd invite you.
That's right. So I figured they didn't send me an invitation, so I have to give them the all clear, right? So if they sign my sheets, they're probably all right. That as far as that goes, right?
Did they sign your sheets with a circle?
Okay.
Names. I didn't see one Keiko on the sheet at all. No, so yeah, no funny Keiko. Stuff.
Okay, good.
Right, sure. Yeah, it all checks out.
Eli, you got a question for Les?
Yeah, Toronto and Chicago are sister cities, right?
Eli asks, Toronto and Chicago, are they sister cities?
Only in appearance, I think. It's slid a long way since the old days, since when Paul Fromm was a young man. This place is not the same town, right?
Oh,
but we
man,
still
just
really
like
a lot of nice
Chicago,
people here. If we can keep the race baiting from having people kill each other, we'll be doing pretty good. Then hopefully we can thin out the demographic a bit and restore things the way it should be. I'm primarily concerned with getting rid of the big influence from Israel, that's for sure, because they're just off the chart evil, those baby eater types, right? So anyway, everything's pretty good here, and it's looking pretty good. I mean, I've never been to Chicago, but I mean, I haven't seen a big shot here, although the first day I was here, there was gunplay at the U.S. consulate, which I missed.
That's right,
I haven't driven by it. I was kind of hoping to see it today. We came up from a little more of a southern route today. I still haven't seen the U.S. consulate. I think it's just inside our riding, but just a little bit south of where I normally turn north. So I haven't seen it yet. And I'm surprised the bullets even made it to the wall if they used pistols. I mean, it's such a gay bunch of bullshit, these that's my best guess on what that was.
All right. Okay, buddy, go do your thing. Go get more of those Keikles.
Yay.
I'll have another 50 or 60 of them, and we'll be in the game then. All right, boys, everybody have a good day. Hey, right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Giuseppe. Have a good day, James, UK, Steve, Eli, and anybody else that's on the panel. All right, guys, in the chat and everybody watching, have a good time, guys. All right, all the best to everybody. Good day.
Thanks, Les.
Yeah. That worked out great, Dave. That's good. I always get it came through very clearly.
That's good. We got luck.
When he's out in the field getting a call in, it's always cool. So good work, Dave.
Yeah, I was worried about him. So
this made my day.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so before I go check out the chat, we were talking earlier about Iran's geography, and I found a really cool little 2-minute. Animated video that shows just throwing those young American and mystery meat soldiers who came here to get their citizenship is just like throwing meat in a grinder. So let's check this out. Yeah.
The country of Iran is more diverse.
Oh, no, that's too low. We can just see it.
Think. Sitting at the crossroads of the Middle East, Central Asia, and South Asia, Iran is 1.6 million square kilometers, making it the 17th largest country in the world. Two massive ranges define Iran's skeleton. The Elborz Mountains run along the northern edge of the country, like a wall separating the interior from the Caspian coast. At their peak sits Mount Damavand, a dormant volcano standing about 5,600 meters above sea level.
is the highest point in the Middle East and the highest volcano in all of Asia. To the west and south are the Zagros Mountains, which stretch 1,500 kilometers, a series of parallel ridges that have historically acted as a natural barrier, shaping trade routes, migration patterns, and civilizations for thousands of years. Enclosed by these mountain ranges rise the Iranian Plateau, a vast elevated basin sitting roughly 1,000 meters above the sea level. Much of its interior is brutally arid. Two great deserts dominate, the Dasht-e-Kavir, a massive salt desert in the north center of the country, and Dasht-e-Lut to the southeast, one of the hottest places on Earth. But once you cross the Alborz Mountains to the north, the landscape transforms completely. The Caspian coast receives heavy rainfall, over 1,000 millimeters a year in some places. It's blanketed in dense green forest known as the Hyrcanian Forest. There's rice paddies, tea plantations, and humid air here. It feels like a completely different country. But despite all that mountain snow and coastal rain, Iran is fundamentally a water-scarce country. Most rivers are seasonal and don't reach the sea. They drain inwards and evaporate into salt lakes. Iran is considered highly urbanized, with about 78% of its population in cities. And those cities reflect the geography almost perfectly. Tehran, the capital and largest city, sits at the foot of the Alborz Mountains in the north. At over 15 million people in its metro area, it's one of the largest cities in the Middle East. The northern parts of the city sit at nearly 1,800 meters above sea level, close enough to the mountains that residents can see snow-capped peaks from their window. To the southwest lies Isfahan, once the crown jewel of the Persian Empire, positioned in a fertile valley along the Zayandeh River, which makes it possible to sustain a great city in the otherwise dry region. It's famous for its grand bazaars and turquoise-tiled mosques. Further south lies Shiraz, a city synonymous with poetry, gardens, and wine in the Persian literary tradition. It sits in a high mountain valley in the Zagros Range at about 1,500 meters above sea level, giving it a milder climate than the scorching plains below. Other major cities include Mashhad in the northeast, close to the Afghan and Turkmen borders. And then there's Tabriz in the northwest, historically one of the most important cities in the Islamic world, sitting in a high volcanic plateau near the borders of Turkey and Azerbaijan. Thus, Iran's geography has shaped everything, its history, its culture, its conflicts, and its resilience. Iran is a country of staggering contrasts, glaciers and salt flats, rainforests and sand dunes, all within the same borders.
There you go. I mean, so you're going to send 5,000 American and Mystery Meat troops, and they're going to somehow traverse all that unknown and engage, you know, the elite Republican Guard. I think they're just going to be like shooting ducks in a barrel. So let's start with everybody, and then we'll go say hello to the chat. James, what do you think?
Well, I remember, of course, the invasion of Iraq. And isn't Iraq lined up geographically quite similar to Iran?
No, not at all. Iraq, much easier, flatter invasion space. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
border each other.
I wish them well over there. Maybe these damn fools aren't foolish enough to try to invade. Let's hope. Let's hope. And but we shall see if they do. It probably won't be worth their while. They're going to end up with a bloody nose,
to say the least. So, lots going to, more than a nose is going to be bloody, I think. Pastor Eli, your thoughts?
Well, that travel log reminded me of California.
Yeah,
right. You got the snow-capped mountains. From L.A., you drive, 2 hours, and you can go skiing. Right, and you drive back, you can go on the beach and blah blah. And then they got the inner valley where they grow wine. It's very similar to California, and it's primarily white people. That's the important thing. It's primarily white people. It's part of the Genesis 10 nations, Mesopotamia. The white nations of Shem lived in Mesopotamia, and the Israelites devolved from them, and the Japhethites went north to Europe. And the Hamites went southwest to Egypt, and they just did a study of Egyptian DNA of the pharaoh, several pharaohs, and they concluded they have R1, B1, R1, A1 DNA. Okay, so that's the area, the greater Israel area that the Jews want to conquer, because that is the area of the white race. That's why the Jews want to conquer it.
There you go. So, Dave Gahari, and then UK Steve. This is a 1987 three-dimensional relief of by the National Iranian Oil Company, done before I was born in 59, Dave in 60, so this is 57. But if you look at the layers of mountains and how you could, you know, have a series of defenses, your whole border is basically enforced by high mountains. In fact, that one with the highest of all is, I think, up here, that volcano.
Whatever.
And then you look at, you know, so you get past the initial one. Well, then you've got, you can refortify here. There's a huge mountain range protecting the north. I'm sorry, the west and the south. And up here, mountains protecting the north. And, I mean, this is like, how are 5,000 guys going to take over this country when it's so brutal to move? I mean, if you come in, there's the desert, there's the desert. And it's just, I don't know, Dave, your thoughts. I think they're sitting pretty.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't look good. That looks like a seashell, you know, with all of the ridges and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just each
color means a different geography though, which is interesting, but it's too small to know.
Yeah, yeah, it's look, anytime I was talking about this book that I read like 40 something years ago called Endless Enemies by Jonathan Quitney. And the thesis is that anytime the United States has gotten involved in a foreign adventure, it's turned out exactly the opposite of the way they wanted it to.
Yeah, right.
So we know why the Anglo-Zionist Empire is there. And hopefully Netanyahu, Satanyahu, is still alive so he could be tortured properly. I don't want it dead. Yeah, I want it alive.
Sure.
And, you know, yeah, it's a shame that so many goyim are completely unaware. Even what you put up there, G, showing that short movie and this geographical relief of this country. Yeah, I mean, that's something that, right? I mean, every day we learn something new. I didn't know about that. I mean, that's, you know, hey, good luck. Good luck, Goyim, getting over those mountain ranges. And I guess, you know, I think about this sometimes, you know, when you wake up and you're like, shit, I'm an American. I didn't think I was going to die in Iran.
Right. You know,
and I did. Holy fuck. And now I'm dead. And that's it. Uh-huh. Because I bought the Jewel-Aid. So let's see what happens. I mean, there's talk about now using nuclear weapons. So let's see how this unfolds.
Steve, your thoughts. I mean, here's Iraq right here, desert basically, flat. Here's Saudi Arabia, same. Basically, there's the Persian Gulf right there. There's Afghanistan. Talk about being surrounded by dangerous. And here they butt up against the Russia right here. I mean, it says USSR because it's an old map. But, I mean, Steve, this is like you couldn't ask for a better way to be able to protect and take a defensive posture in a long invasion war.
Well, I've actually got quite a few comments to make here. Number one, they've already fought an 8-year war against Iraq with U.S. support. Don't forget, I think it was Donald Rumsfeld who sold Saddam Hussein chemical weapons, the same chemical weapons he then went after later on. But eight years they fought, and I think the Iranians lost about 200,000 men at least in that war. It's quite a lot, but they were victorious ultimately. But what I want to sort of push is we are approaching sixth generational warfare. And what surprised me with some of the people I was looking at is they were saying that sixth generational warfare will be tunnel warfare. We saw that. Yeah, we saw that in Vietnam with the tunnel rats. I don't know if you're familiar with the tunnel rats.
Oh, sure. Very familiar. Mm-hmm.
The Vietnamese had dug entire tunnel cities underneath the actual bases that the US was on at the time. And Iran has just had 40 years of digging tunnels in those mountains. Even if you were to nuke them, it wouldn't make a blind bit of difference. The other point I have to make is what we're not looking at is Yemen. And Yemen's also key because they're a key partner here. They're going to, whatever Iran asks them to do, they'll do because they've got honor. They also are defended Palestinians, do notice as well. But they say that Yemen is the graveyard of armies. And when I looked into that deeper and I saw why that was the case, it's because the Yemenis for hundreds of years have been building tunnels in those mountains, which is why with all those airstrikes, they keep popping up and sending drones out towards the shipping because they've quite simply got loads of tunnels. They've been fighting and have experience for hundreds of years of this kind of warfare, whereas in Iraq, they didn't have that. They did in Vietnam. So the question is, how well dug in are the Iranians? And I'm going to say they're very well dug in. They've got quite a professional setup. They're fighting asymmetrically. As long as they can keep firing long-range missiles, I think they'll be fine because they'll be able to just fire a standoff. I also think that if they do have a land invasion, they're going to start to get major material support off not just the Chinese, who've already given brand new radars, top of the range radars, which can spot stealth aircraft. But I'm starting to see signs of the Israelis turning on the Russians. Now, as we know, there's quite a lot of business to do with drones between Russia and Iran, and they are not neutral in this conflict, Russia. And I just want to give you a quote, if I can just pull it up here on my notes. I think it was the Russian media reports, the IOF spokeswoman, Anna Yukolova, which is an Israeli armed forces spokesman, a woman, threatens Russian authorities to be killed if they take an anti-Israel position in the war. So the Jew, and this is why I say, you know, we should increase their chutzpah. We have to, because they make stupid mistakes like this, where you're now threatening Russia. And the one thing you shouldn't be doing is threatening the Russians, who are the number one battle-hardened army in the world right now. They are. They've got an obscene production of munitions capability that they've been building. And they're working closely with Iran. So, like I say, the Jews all in on this. And that's quite a desperate threat. And she was remarking how they control all the Russian traffic and CCTV cameras, yeah? Like they did in Iran, yeah? And I think all you're going to end up doing is pissing off the Russians. So I think that if they do have a land invasion, one, it's going to be a turkey shoot. You've got to get in there. Two, you've got to hold that ground once you've inserted and then somehow have logistics. Are you going to have, what, an aerial logistics supply going in there? I don't think so, not with the prevalence of manpads, not with the support of the Russians and Chinese and their material support. I really don't think that's going to happen. The real question is Iran going to keep firing until Israel is no more? That's the key question, because if they have a negotiated ceasefire, Israel will just take out Lebanon, steal the gas or whatever, and then they'll just attack it there again once they're resupplied with interceptors. So I don't think Iran is going to do that. I think they're all in. And what they're going to do is blow away every single bit of Western infrastructure in the Middle East. Because, one, that will help people like Iraq, where they do have the Popular Mobilization Front units, which are being bombed by the Jewish Americans at the moment. Right. And it will help them with their domestic uprising. So we could well see Iraq actually rise up with Iran against the West. And obviously the Yemenis will shut off the Suez Canal at the same time. It would mean the fall of the Gulf monarchies. The Iranians are also after compensation for this war because they realize that they can't really stop the Americans bombing the refineries, although I will add a caveat there that it was the Jew that bombed those refineries. Right. And Trump had to tell them to stop quite quickly because of what's going on with the oil price, yeah? So they'll do it eventually, but not right now because they're trying to stabilize the situation. But they realize it will take years to repair not just the production capacity in Iran, but as the Gulf as a whole. especially in the UAE, Oman, Qatar. This is going to take years to repair, and they know it, and they're after compensation. So having any form of Western infrastructure does make you a target. And I think the wider war here is the expulsion of all Western influence in the Middle East versus the Greater Israel Project, where, as I said, I think it was about 8 months ago, 8 or 9 months ago, I said the true plan here for the neocons is to take over the entire Middle East and appropriate all their oil. So, you know, forget right. all the propaganda, etc. It's about the money. It's always about the money. And what they want is our oil and gas to inject as collateral into a failing dollar and to keep their power base going. As soon as that dollar fails, as soon as the euro fails and the pound, then we start to see the mob, the public, turn up at the front doors of the central bank. And that's when they're going to start to listen to our message the most. So this is a financial war. And if we're moving, as I've claimed, from a fiat financial global market into a commodity note-based financial market, they need the oil and gas of the Middle East as collateral. Quite simply, I don't think they're going to get it. I think they're going to go for a full-on military defeat, and I think this is going to dovetail with a full-on defeat in Ukraine as well.
Well, here's a map of Yemen that validates Steve's investigations, which is this is the Houthi controlled part of Yemen in orange. Again, there's all the mountains and clearly decades of tunnel building, very very impressive, formidable. The green is actually Saudi controlled area, which is basically desert, and they didn't say what the blue was. They don't list the blue. All right. So there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just making a joke. The blue meanies.
Right. All right. So let's pop in, say hello to everybody in the chat. We're a little late, but that's all right. So do I have the auto scroll off? No. Scroll on the auto scroll. All right. So Adolf Richter is here.
Hey, Adolf. How you doing?
He says you'll get arrested in fucking Russia for saying something against the Jew anti-Satanism. Yeah. So that's interesting. All right. So, hey, Johnny Sunshine donated 1488. Great to see you, brother. Veritas is here. Very good movie, 1968 Tunnel Rats, was a suspense film written and directed by Uwe Boll. I actually saw that movie. That was a good movie, yeah. And it's now on Tubi TV, which is, I guess, one of those new channels where they play old stuff for free on various platforms. Yeah. All right, Straight Out of Swampton's here. Let's see. He's Serbian Bulls here. They're getting a little salty about something in Lerman's chat. Don't know. Not gonna get involved in it. All right, let's see. Uncle Steve's here. Great to see Uncle Steve. Veritas, brilliant guy. Let's see. Riot Earth, welcome. Instead of Wyatt Earp, Riot Earth. That just dawned on me for the first time. All right. Thomas E. Dwyer is here. Thomas, I hope you can join this Friday, the LV Legends and Veterans first gathering of a panel. And we'll open up veterans to mean veterans who have supported our work for these 6 years, like Johnny Sunshine. I thought Johnny Sunshine was a veteran, but he said he wasn't. But he's still a veteran of the meme wars. So it was an honor to join us. Let's see. Riot Earth, that's a great image. The GTV guys created that, but that's what Shlomo Nosferatu Greenblatt truly deserves. Long overdue.
He should be electrocuted until his ears start smoking.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
They need to turn the power off. So he'll be 100 times more terrorized. That's what the Jews did to Christian Russia. They tortured most of those people to death. Yeah, slowly but surely.
Walther Mauser's here. Great to see Walther. Stubo 73's here. Panzer 9, great to see you. Flak 88, Brad C. Some of the people today have been having buffering issues. Sorry to hear that, but I know they went over to X, and great to see you there. Always Honest, the great sister of all our shows, and does a regular Thursday night co-host with Davis Lerman, and is part of the final Friday of the month, the National Socialist White Ladies Roundtable, which is always a great one. Petty is here. Good to see you. Snail Racer's here. Hitler's Revenge. Let's see. I was honest. There's another good one of proof that Netanyahu's still alive. There you go. That's real. His hand is a menorah.
I thought he only had 6 fingers.
Yeah, but that's even funnier is the fact that they made it, 7, right, like a menorah, I guess. So, yeah.
There you go, right?
Yeah. All right, let's see. Anybody else? I think that's everybody. Michael Sistanino, Paisan's here. All right. So, did somebody else want to jump in? I heard another voice real quick.
I was just speaking in Arkansas. Y'all.
Y'all. Y'all.
Y'all, yeah, right. Y'all here.
Y'all crazy.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
All right, so then let's pop over quickly. Remember, if you'd like to support this excellent platform, go buy some great stuff. Go to bannedbyamazon.com if you want to use your credit or debit card. And let me put up the discount banner. Let's see. It is, should be here. It was always there in the past. There it is. Okay. 10% use the code GMAN except for the Siege audiobook, which everybody should own. It's only $25. And I know Flood spent, you know, hundreds of hours working on that with cloning James's voice, and no 10% discount on these awesome FTJ t-shirts. And more hosts and guests are coming on the show wearing them. There's the black one. I have the blue one on today. There it is right there. Beautiful. And there's the gunmetal gray. It's another great one. All right. Don't forget, everything you want to do with a credit card, debit card, go to bannedbyamazon.com. And there's never been more time. The time is right to pick up a couple of books and share it with a normies like, they eat babies? Well, now's the time to get them some info now that they're actually snapped out of the kike entrancement enough to understand just how truly evil they are. If you want to use crypto, I guess crypto had a big bull run this week, and it's back making money for some people again. Well, go to moneytreepublishing.com, and everything there can be purchased with crypto, crypto, crypto. All right, finally, FTJ Pro, $5 a month or $50 a year and save 2 months. And you should get in the game. It's great to be a meme lord, and you get various guys in the chats bitching at each other. I mean, that's fine if that's what floats your boat. But it'd be better to stop carping against other white dudes and instead start doing your own show and sharing your own perspective and opinions. And so now I guess we have a new thing at the bottom of people's shorts. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that existed.
Yeah, yeah, that's being, somebody requested it.
Oh, okay.
I think BB Dan did, and it's being worked on because everything has bugs. It's like,
of course,
you know, literally, right, it's all bugged out. So you have to unbug it, if that's a word.
Well, the beauty of saving money is open source products. The bane of open source is you have no idea who is writing that code and how good that code is. So, yeah, it's luckily we got Josh and some other guys who may not get it the first time, but they're diligent, and eventually they do deliver. So that's cool.
As long as we can get the word out, right?
Exactly.
I mean, and that's what we're doing. And we fucked the Jew last month. And, you know, we're going to fuck him again this month. Yeah. So, and we fuck him every day. So,
fuck the Jew every day. Throw the Jew down the well. All right. Yep. So here's a new a warrior here at FDJ, First Fire 508's here now. Fucking white male out of Australia, just a brilliant guy. And there's Lady Michelle Renouf. If Lady Michelle Renouf can come to FDJ and put up videos, you can too. It can be your videos, your songs, your books, your pre-recorded podcast. The point is it's pretty, you know, nobody cares about your inflated ego. And what we care about is saving the white race. So you can say do far more by putting that steam behind your own show. I mean, look at Casey Whalen's here now, and he's trying to raise $3,000 for doing a Jim Fetzer documentary. He's not raised too much so far, but hopefully have to have him on as a guest, and maybe we can raise some more for him.
Yeah, there's a couple of sites for that, and they're getting pretty close.
Oh, I did not know that, Dave. Thanks for letting me know that.
Yep, All right. And I'm helping him out with some equipment, too. So
fantastic.
That's awesome. Jim asked me, so, you know.
Jim is a good man.
Jim's a good man. He's going to be 86 this December.
Wow, that's
amazing. And he's still going. I mean, he's got more energy.
Going like the Energizer fucking bunny, man. It's crazy. I mean, the guy, I don't know if any of you guys, but he puts out a multiple email, curated emails of news and commentary. 3-4 times a day, the dude will send a blast out. Plus, he does all these shows. It's insane. All right. So that's great. I think we've covered everything. So now let's start with the legendiest of legends, James Mason. James, anything you want to bring up that we didn't cover in hour one?
No, I just want to comment on what has been brought up. I think this is unique. It's remarkable the way we're dissecting this Iranian situation. Calmly, professionally, with the insights that we have, and we don't have long to wait to see how right we are. Weeks, maybe a few months, and we'll know. And then we'll go back and we'll say, we told you so.
There you go. Absolutely. And that is that some people would be magnanimous, not me. I want to stick every goofball's nose in the Jew shit and rub it like a puppy. Not going to be any take the high road with these assholes. They've made our lives miserable for how many decades? They need to experience a little bit of our pain. So let's go next then to Pastor Eli. Eli, what did you want to bring up that hasn't been brought up in hour one? And then I have a question for you that I think is pretty salient. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, a quick comment. 5,000 Marines means nothing. Marines aren't heavily armed. They would need to bore a hole through those mountains to get into central Iran. It ain't going to happen. Right? No. Yeah, that's a well-fortified country. And, Steve, have you heard about the tunnels under L.A.?
What, the mole people?
Yeah, well, no, not the pole people.
The pedo people, the tunnels that get right. I saw Howard, what was that Playboy? Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion. They have massive underground. They were there before L.A. was even a city. Probably tribes of thousands of years ago dug a lot of them. But, yeah, there's amazing catacombs below L.A.
Wow, I didn't know that. Now.
It's being used by the L.A. pedos. And they even have a McDonald's down there. Exclusively, have a McDonald's down there. So I just wonder what the Iranian tunnels have, right?
I mean,
Moby Dick.
Yeah.
They've got lines and lines of missiles. They've got lines and lines of missiles.
There you go. Conveyor belts.
On and on and on.
Right?
Yeah, and apparently they've got conveyor belts Go ahead.
Conveyor belts like bandoleros, right? That's what they got.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, absolutely.
So you're going to ask a question, and I want to read something after your question.
Yeah, what I would like to get your thoughts on is it seems to me that there's a rift in the MAGA Christians and the Turning Point Christians who, you know, were on the fence about Israel, right? I mean, they were waking up the way Charlie Kirk was waking up, that these aren't the chosen, they're little demons. And how big do you think is the opportunity for Christian identity, which is basically Christianity for whites, to kind of pry some of those people off and wake them up to see who the real enemy is and join our side?
Yeah. Well, the time is now for that. Donald Trump made a huge mistake when he went down to Kentucky and bitched at Thomas Massie. Huge mistake. So, because the MAGA crowd already is faltering, there maybe were 20 MAGA people to hear his speech, and Trump was being booed when he criticized Massie. So that's a major development. Okay, Thomas Massie is the only Congress critter who isn't paid by the Jews to say what he says, right? So I'm hoping. Thomas Massie, real patriot.
Just to add, I've caught Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's wife. She's been deleting 42 Instagram posts since February 26, linking her to the Epstein files. Okay. So I think it's going to come out this America First versus Israel First. And I saw another clip today of somebody running up to all the congressmen and senators. He was asking, America First or Israel First? America First or Israel First?
Yes.
They looked like rabbits in the headlights of a car. They were that scared of that question. Yes. So I think that's what's going to turn this Turning Point USA crowd, is that they're meant to be Make America Great Again. But what we're seeing is the lies turn into hypocrisy, an open hypocrisy at that.
Yes.
And the more that we can feed that, the more that people turn against that, the more that we can see that people like Thomas Massie are the way forward, in at least in terms of changing goyim sentiment within the U.S. domestic scene.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, the Jewish game plan, as you said earlier, Steve, it doesn't change. It's the same game plan. And what's his name? Netanyahu made a huge blunder when he came to America and talked about those exploding pagers. And right after talking about the exploding pagers, he said, "Oh, well, all your pagers and cell phones are made in Israel."
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That was a stupid thing to say, right?
Right.
Oh, you mean, you got a button, you can kill us all if you want to? That was a stupid thing to say.
Maybe it wasn't stupid. Maybe he wanted them to know.
Right. Okay. But here, this is from, I think it's 2000, what year is it? 2005. Have you guys ever subscribed to, Nexus?
Used to subscribe to Nexus.
It's a great magazine from Australia.
Oh, my word. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. And there's an article in here, Onward to Iran and the War on Tyranny. So this is 2005, and this guy has analyzed 21 years ago what's happening in Iran right now. Okay. In the weeks after 9/11/2001, U.S. President George W. Bush announced the existence of an axis of evil comprised of the nations of Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. In speeches that followed, he implied that he regarded it desirable to achieve regime change. Where have we heard that before? In all three countries. In the years since, the first of the three, Iraq, has been invaded and reduced to a desolate landscape of violence and hopelessness. I'll just skip down to the first heading here. Iran, brief history and background. But first, let us consider the geographic and historical context, which you're just showing on the map, of impending events. The country now known as Iran, ancient Persia, was a center for pre-Islamic Indo-European culture from the second millennium BC and for Islamic culture from the 5th century. It was the birthplace of Zoroastrianism, the home of Sufi poet Rumi, a site of empires, and a frequent object of conquest. Okay, well, they're tired of being conquested. Okay, now here's an interesting bit of history. In 1901, an Australian explorer named William Knox Darcy managed to persuade the Persian Shah to grant him mineral rights to the country for 60 years in exchange for £20,000.
Oh my God.
A 60% share of the proceeds. Manhattan was a bargain for the Indians, right?
Yeah.
Manhattan was a bargain for the Indians. Can you believe this? For £20,000 and 60% share of the proceeds. Darcy then began prospecting for oil, which he found in 1908. Iranian history from then on has hinged on this discovery. Britain, meanwhile, had realized the strategic importance of petroleum for the future of industrial production and warfare for the British war fleet and converting from coal to oil. The British Navy was in the process of converting from coal to oil. And the rest is history. Well, wait a minute. Does he mention there's a British spy? Is it Hemphill? Sidney Riley, the famous British spy, talked Darcy into parting with his contract, and thus was born the Anglo-Persian Oil Company, which would later become British Petroleum, BP.
Interesting.
Okay. What a deal. And the guy wasn't even Jewish. He was just smart. Okay, so everything hinges on this. Since the British wanted all that Iranian oil, and they've been depriving the Iranian people of all that oil for, what, now 100 years? And the Iranians are sick and tired of it.
Okay. Great point. So, Dave Ghari, you, as I, were professional journalists back when journalism was the fourth estate and had some credibility, unlike now. But check this out. Within 2 weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, from the jfeed.com, Carlson, yeah. Fuentes, and Owens must be jailed inside a World War II style internment camp. And so these vile kikes are saying the First Amendment isn't a suicide pact. What does that even mean? I mean, you crazy.
He's nothing.
Fucking
that
kike. Mean,
that's post false flag, is that?
Yeah, right.
There you go. Yeah. Just as the Greatest Generation neutralized threats in 1942, we must stop the influencers turning our soldiers against the commander-in-chief before the front lines collapse. This kike is full of shit, Dave. And to the thoughts that these are just a professional, you know, they all have their controllers or their puppet handlers to some degree, but these are people exercising their constitutional right to question what's going on. And and can you believe this? To think that Tucker Carlson, this Fuentes guy, and Candace Owens would be kept in a camp just because they're pointing out right. What the kike is actually doing, Dave, that's unbelievable.
Well, it's been done before, and it can happen. You know, we just have to see how hot it gets.
Right.
And, you know, putting these people in a camp is nothing for these psychopaths who are running the world. Right, I mean, they just blew up a girls' school and murdered 160 children, and that doesn't the fuck they eat them maybe right?
Right.
So yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's a McDonald's in the making
right,
there.
Right. So I don't know. You know, I don't put anything past them. They'll do anything. You know, could we see these influencers being locked up? Absolutely.
And
you shouldn't be surprised.
Giuseppe, put that back up and read that last clause again. Read that last clause.
All right.
Okay.
After the comma, we must stop the influencers turning our soldiers against the commander in chief before the front lines collapse. We do need our soldiers being turned against the kike controlled marionette. Yeah. Donald J. J stands for Jewish rectum licker Trump. I mean, unbelievable.
Right? That's right.
These kikes think that they are above everything, and they're not. Yeah. Wow.
But do I sense some desperation in that statement?
Yes, yes.
Seems
yes.
a little desperate to me. I think so. James yeah. Mason, what do you think? A little desperate?
Never saw times like these. Never saw yeah. times like these. And it's damn good. It's damned encouraging. It's about
time. Right. Yeah.
Don't fuck yeah. with the American First Amendment because it would just turn all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. yeah. Yep. Yep.
Like and
we know who the enemy is. We know who the enemy is. And we outnumber them, what, 2,000 to 1, if not more?
If the yeah. Jew goes to the First Amendment and Second Amendment, it's the end of the Jew in America.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Yep. Speaking yep. of desperation, let's go with our famous histrionic, bald, rodent kike. he calls himself the Great One. I wouldn't call him that. Mark Levin. So this was Levin in the last day or two, evidently. Maybe even right. been today. It's just a short clip.
If you reject Judaism and you reject Christianity and you reject the link of the two, you reject the Bible. If you reject Judaism and Christianity and the brotherhood and the sisterhood of the two, not only are you rejecting our founding, you're rejecting our country. If you reject...
How did he come to that? Anybody want to... that's so batshit crazy, yeah. number one. Well, let's start with Pastor Eli James yeah. and his awesome book. Right. Eli, this kike is just gaslighting perfidy. This right. is a classic example of Jew perfidy, yeah. right? So.
It's based on the lie that the Jews are Israel and the Jews bestowed the Mosaic Law and created Christianity that they're from. That's the big lie. That's the number one lie, okay? And my book proves it's a lie, okay? Hopefully it'll be read. It'll be a bestseller, but it won't be on the New York Times bestseller list, I guarantee you.
By the way, this is kind of cool. The guy who posted that, his message to Levin was, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right. Well, he's capable of doing that.
Yes, he is. You're right. Yeah. He probably has one of those Rabbi Shmuley 12-inch
right.
black dominator dildos
that right. he enjoys right.
in his me time. His me time.
Right.
So, yeah. All right. Well, you know, this is the good show's Race By. This one's Race By. We're let's start yeah. with everybody having their final statement, and let's start with UK Steve. A lot of great points today, Steve. Your final thoughts?
just a couple of things we've missed. One is the Cuban blackout that's going on. So they've got 10 million people with zero oil.
Right.
That's true. Just a whole can of worms on the shore of America right there. Mm-hmm. And the question will become, who's going to send oil to Cuba? So something to keep an eye on. And the other point I wanted to make was the limits of in the Anglosphere of brainwashing in the global south. So I was watching Idi Amin's son the other day, and he was warning all the Ugandans of the Israelis turning up in Uganda. And he was saying to them that they're all cannibals and they're going to eat all the Ugandans. Literally, he was saying that. And he was warning all the Africans, and all the Africans will be watching this. And I was thinking that's genius. So all the blacks now will be looking at the Jews as cannibals in Africa, right? All of them, including the Muslims. And what it means is they're not just going to lose all of the Middle East. They're going to lose all of Africa as well, because they'll be looking at the Jews as cannibals. They'll be looking at any European or American presence in Africa as Jewish interests now, as this war escalates. And with the situation in Cuba and Latin America, I think they're going to lose South America if they lose in the Middle East and in Ukraine. So all these people they're sort of forcing into compliance, these are going to be the same people that will instantly turn on them if they smell blood, if they smell a US defeat. And this obviously has ramifications for the markets and the raw resources that they're draining from those, especially Africa in the Middle East. So we have to keep that in mind, that there are other flashpoints outside of the white Western world as well. And they're not perhaps as brainwashed as what we are. Well, I happen to believe the white race is the most brainwashed in humanity. Absolutely. I do think
I think so.
The way I see, and it's not just because people think they're sitting in their ivory towers, it's because we've been living on past glories. And when I say we, I mean the Goyim. They've been living on the past glories of World War II, but we're in 2026, and all these kosher troops, what you call the, you know, this mystery meat, like what we saw in Ukraine, where the CIA was setting up white nationalists to go sacrifice themselves in a brother war in the Ukraine, okay, and depicting it as a reenactment of World War II. Well, it didn't work out like that. What we needed was to get rid of the Jew in Ukraine, Zelensky, and all the Jewish oligarchs that were setting up with the CIA these white nationalist groups, which could have been more useful to get rid of our own governments rather than to go die in the first 2 years of the Ukraine war. Well, this is what we're going to see now. We're going to see an emptying of the last of the Goyim, the white Goyim, who are going to die for the Jew. I think that time is over, and this is what you were alluding to with the split between Turning Point USA with the Israel First versus the America First of the old MAGA crowd. All these boomers, they're not going to be on the ones in the front lines, in the foxholes. They want me or you or the youth to go fight for their aims. That's not going to happen. None of the youth support Israel. so I think we have to keep in mind that the brainwashing is the deepest here, because we're living on past glories. We're overconfident in our technology. And I think this started in Syria, but it came out in the Ukraine war, that we're fighting wars of 20 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago. We are not all that. And we're going to be, I say we, the Zog system is going to be defeated militarily. And that has massive ramifications on the market. Sure. And I think what we're seeing is the market's treading water at the moment, and they're desperate and hungry for not just military success, anything. They need continuous military success.
Yeah, yeah. Comment?
I think Steve just dropped out for a second. Let's wait and see if he pops back in. Otherwise,
finally, there he is. Thank you to the audience who are listening. Thank you to the panel. Come check me out on my Telegram channel, UK Steve Table Talk. I've got a really good news feed coming in. I think real power comes from, one, being informed, and two, having control of your personal destiny. You can't control what other people do in a way. You can only inspire them, but you can control your own behavior and cultivate spirit or courage. And I think on this panel, we're all people of courage and sacrifice, putting our neck out for years, decades even. And I think those in the audience as well, doing the silent work of spreading the message, that also takes courage to go out onto the street in the face of the enemy, the politicians, your local councillors, the police, the army, and to say what's needed to be said in the open, that the Rothschilds are running the show, and to name the Jew, and then to perhaps suggest solutions to that, at the very least, name drop some names of organizations that you can signpost them towards, and to get active politically, especially against the bank. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Okay. Absolutely. You know, we should cover, it's being like erased, Dave Gahari, how Andrew Jackson successfully battled the Kike bankers. You know, that's like been swept down the memory hole later. And I think that FTJ, we should focus more on what a hero he was and how he did it, because that's the same blueprint that we could use today.
Well, of course, Jackson is, one of the targets of the woke left, the communists, whatever it might be.
Right.
But yeah, of course. I mean, this is, if you look at have you heard of that Hillsdale College?
Sure. It's a black college. Yep.
No, in Michigan. It's like a conservative.
Oh, Hillsdale. Okay.
Hillsdale. Sure. Uh-huh. And, of course, they don't talk about the Jew. But, I mean, we need, like, Germar is doing the Holocaust Academy.
Right.
And there's other people doing great work. And you talked about the audience, they're doing great work. spreading the word and educating, you know, not just the people watching or listening, but us as well, which happens all the time.
Sure.
And then, of course, we have this esteemed panel who, you know, every day is dedicated to getting the truth out. And as they say, you know, the truth is halfway around the world before, I mean, the lie is halfway around the world.
Right.
Before the truth gets out of bed. And the reason for that is human nature. So humans want to be lied to. And unfortunately, so we're up against a lot, obviously, but, you know, as we've noticed over these couple of years that we've been together, that it's really going our way, obviously. And I think that it is all about money for the most part. Of course, the Jew doesn't care about money when they want to control what you say. They will spend right. or lose whatever amount of money they have to in order to shut you up because they don't sure. want that free speech. But they've lost control of that narrative. And I just want to make mention, somebody, I think you did, G, you talked about Yemen.
Right.
And something that when I was studying the Liberty, one of the things that stood out to me was that when and what's going on now in Iran, of course, is a little different than what happened in the 1967 war.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Gamal Abdel Nasser, who was the president of what's known as Egypt nowadays, right. but it was the United Arab Republic because they had some sort of confederation with Syria. But one of the things, or one of the reasons that Egypt's crack troops were not available when Nasser moved the United Nations peacekeeping force, well, he asked the United Nations peacekeeping force to leave the Sinai, and the head of the UN at that time, a guy by the name of Utant, he agreed, and they withdrew the peacekeeping forces, and then they moved in the Egyptian troops to the border with Israel. But these were troops that many of them weren't armed properly, they weren't clothed properly, they weren't trained properly. And the reason was that the best Egyptian troops, the crack troops, were in Yemen.
Oh, wow.
And this is a battle, as Eli has talked about over all these decades, and as James has. This is a battle that's been going on for millennia.
Yep.
You know, this what we're seeing here in the Gulf is just a continuation of this spiritual battle, but they're using weapons. There's no guarantee that the West is going to prevail at all, right? I mean, they're begging for weapons they're begging Zelensky for weapons,
right.
And they're taking weapons away from Korea because they don't have enough.
Right.
What does that tell you?
Yeah,
so right. I think you know, it's awesome to be able to discuss these things, as James said earlier, you know, with this panel, and for you putting it together, G, and all the insight that comes from these great men and the great audience members. So thank you very much. And I had a pleasant Monday. I didn't have my typical Monday. It was great to be here with you guys.
So remember, I think Eli brought up the idea of what's going on with Cuba. Here's an update. After deploying Secretary Marco Rubio, President Trump revealed Cuba is next, and something big is about to happen. Pretty soon,
right.
Pretty soon we'll either make a deal or do whatever we have to do. A lot of people vote for Trump from Cuba that were violently and viciously thrown out, and worse, families killed. We're talking to Cuba, but we're going to do Iran before Cuba. I mean, this guy is just off the chain right now. My God.
Yeah, who's writing the script for this guy? I mean, everything is so stupid. Really stupid.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, my God.
But I just wanted to make a comment on what Steve said about brainwashing the white race.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been happening, they've been blackmailing the rich whites, and they're brainwashing the rest. That's the tactic they're using, okay?
True.
All right?
Okay? And they're using the Judeo-Christian churches to brainwash the rest. Right? The rich whites have become animals that eat babies, right? And the rest are stupid Judeo-Christians. All right? So that has to change. However, if the Jews blow their wad on Iran, it's over. It's really over, okay? So, but what I'm concerned about is if the Jews decide to use nukes, they're going to target an American city.
Correct.
Okay? That's exactly right. In fact, let me interject this here. Hold on.
Okay.
If you want to know how they're going to do it, look at this.
Well, great for LA, I think.
Hopefully, yeah. Larry Silverstein, a couple years ago, bought the tower in L.A. Fuck, where do I have that?
Oh.
Or is that on? Let me look over here.
Are you serious? He bought the tower.
Yeah, hold on.
In LA?
I have it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, hold on. Let me just take a look where I.
Let me know if I have to tell my family to leave Chicago.
Nope, they're not going to do Chicago. It's going to be L.A., I think, and especially
there's too many Jews in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Fifth Amendment.
Right.
That's what. Yeah.
So expect that to happen. The Jews are going to get desperate, and who are they going to blame it on?
White supremacists.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. And Muslims.
And Muslims. There you go. Well, they'll blame it on Iran, of course. Okay, so but they're going to nuke America, blame it on Iran, and who's going to come and fight against Iran? They're not going to be able to assemble an army, but it'll be nuclear war for sure.
Okay, that's the only card they've got left. They do not.
Yeah,
have
that's all they got left.
They have no conventional forces to play. They've got no cards left.
No, they've got the Europeans, and they're trying to get them in there. So they did
Germany.
That before. They did that before the Suez. Okay. So they might do that here. I don't think they're going to do nukes.
Okay, so Lucky Larry Silverstein,
it'll be the last option. Yeah.
A year or two ago, actually acquired one of the largest skyscrapers in L.A., the U.S. Bank Tower. And so, you think they're going to pull the same shit again? I think so. That's where they'll, because he can cash out again. And so that you got to look at that.
Yeah, and it'd be no great loss to lose L.A.
No. But guess what? Guess what? In California, they're already talking about the Iranian drones attacking California.
Oh, they warned about that there was supposedly a huge wave coming, yeah.
So if you know anybody in California and L.A., tell them to get out now.
Yep. But tell all your Jewish friends.
I know a lot of people in L.A. I know a lot of people in L.A. I don't think they'll blow up Las Vegas because there's too many Jew-owned casinos there. So I'll tell them, leave L.A., go to Las Vegas. Yeah,
Eli, the three biggest mass hives of Jews in the United States are Miami area, Hymettown, and the third one is Broward County outside of Miami. Of course,
really?
New York. Yep. And the third, what's the third huge enclave?
It's got to be Chicago. It's got to be Chicago.
No, it's not.
Unless it's
not
L.A.
Chicago.
No,
I think. Oh, it's Hollywood, West Hollywood, in that area. That's a ton of kites there.
Yeah.
So figure they're so unable to generate sympathy.
Well,
they're gonna. I think anybody can jump in. They're gonna hit one of those three huge Jew infestations because oh my God, the show! Look how many Jews died. Don't you feel pity for us, Goyim? So I think it's gonna be. And then you look at Lucky Larry buying that tower.
Quick comment. Speculation,
of course, but.
What they'll do is there'll be an exodus of Jews away from the target.
That's
area.
Right.
Oh, you got to watch that.
That's
great. Yeah.
I was just going to say that same thought. Geniuses think alike.
All right. Great minds think alike.
So, yeah, well, what was it? The Odigo? Messaging service in Hebrew?
Odigo.
Supposedly.
Yep. Odigo.
Odigo? Well, just If you see a mass exodus of they'll leave the Hollywood starlets, who are basically white whores, right? To get slaughtered. But if the studios, the Jew-owned studios, move elsewhere, they won't announce that they're moving. They just go elsewhere, right? A few days before the bomb hits. That's what we need to expect.
Okay? Well, you know, we haven't talked much about it. We'll do it in the future shows, especially next Monday when Eli's back, is how there's a war in Hollywood going on with the Zionist psychopathic Chabad types like Larry Ellison and his Nepo Pedo son running Paramount, and now they've been fighting with Netflix to get a hold of Warner Brothers, the huge studio. And in the short term, Netflix has backed off, but there's other people, shareholders of WB, Warner Brothers, that aren't happy with that psycho Zionist Ellison taking over. So no deal's been done yet. But that is really interesting, because the woke commie Bolshevik 2.0s control Netflix. They control right now Warner Brothers. And so there's this battle for who gets to define the Jew propaganda. Should it be focused on the tranny, or should it be focused on the Third Temple, right? The Temple of the Mount. So we'll have to. That's an interesting power struggle that's occurring right now. All right. So finally, let's get the final thoughts of the legendiest of legends, the one and only James Mason. James, your final thoughts.
Well, I'm hearkening back to that crazy Jew that we listened to some minutes ago, wringing his hands about the Bible. If you drop the Jews, and the guy struck me as being 100% sincere, which can only mean, and it flashes back to the words in the Bible, God will send them powerful delusion.
There you go.
Right.
And they are under powerful delusion, and that will be their ultimate undoing.
Yeah. There's also in the book of Ezekiel, Yahweh says of Gog and Magog, who are the Khazarian Jews, okay, I will put hooks in their jaws and draw them into a conflict that they cannot win.
And there you go.
Okay. and by the way, the Valley of Megiddo, on which Armageddon is based, is in Palestine. So they've moved themselves into position to be annihilated. Okay. Wow. And without them realizing it, he has set them up. But guys, I've got to go. I just want to quickly let you know, I won't be around the next couple of Mondays because I'm going to, well, Dave's going to the same conference in West Virginia. But I'm going to be visiting my friends on the way, so I'll be on the road on next Monday.
Oh, okay. And then, well, let me know when you're ready to come back.
Yeah, it'll be like 3 weeks from today, okay? All right, you guys, stay anti-Semitic.
Right.
Absolutely.
Good luck, Eli.
God bless, Eli. Thank you so much. I just wanted to point out one more time.
Safe travels.
Awesome things coming tomorrow. Yeah, safe travels and have a great conference.
All right. Okay,
tomorrow
guys,
and Thursday's Sewell with Mason and Gahari. Those are going to be killer shows. And then don't forget, Dave's doing shows with Dennis Weiss, Les Borey, the legendary Dave Duke, when Dave can do a mani-pedi on himself while Dave gives succinct little answers.
Right.
Anyway. Right. All right. So
last time I got a manicure was when I was in the Philippines.
Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't want to. I got conned into it.
So, I'll tell you what. Last, my wife and I went on a vacation last time. I think it was 2019. My mother-in-law bought into this point system, so she was like, "I got too many points. You got to go on a vacation." I'm like, "We really can't afford it." But no, you got to go on a vacation. And ultimately, we went to instead of Cabo San Lucas up the road, about a half. 30 minutes is Cabo San Jose, and that's the better way to go. Cabo San Lucas is a big party town for young people. Cabo San Jose is even more beautiful with the ocean front and all that. But they had this thing where you put your feet in a big like glass tank and a bunch of little fish nibble all your dead skin. So we did that. That's the weirdest thing I ever had. That sensation, those little feet nibbling at my my tootsies and my piggies. That was something different. I've never had that before.
You get that here in the Gulf of America.
Oh, in the Gulf of America?
Yeah, and you could even see the fish, you know, because the water's so clear. And they do, like, they do nibble at your feet.
They like the skin, the dead skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so finally, I want to just say a quick thanks to the donations for today. And again, all the hosts truly, in these challenging economic times, appreciate donations. So today, being March 16th, got 1488 from the our brother Johnny Sunshine, 1488 from our sister Always Honest, $15 from Lori, another sister, and so thank you so much. Oh wait, Eli left before I could get him to do the final prayer, so I'll do it.
Fuck the Jew.
And again, there's a picture of Alfred laughing. I miss Alfred. Don't forget, I got to get another letter out to him. And we all should. And it's funny because Alfred, from what Monica said on some shows last week, he's built himself a little niche where he's having a pretty good life there in the slammer, as they say. And so that being said, don't forget so many great, great live shows or archival. And Dave, you got to be pretty proud of the fact that in only 1 year, you know, we did it with basically very little money. We've gotten, and that was a couple months ago, we had gotten 2 million archival views just in the first year. So this FTJ media thing is getting some traction, I would say, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. If you build it, they will come.
Right.
We're not asking anybody for anything. We're just built in and come here and speak your mind, say whatever the fuck you want. Because we got to, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow with James. We'll do our show, regular time, and Matt is on spring break now, so I don't have to rush out to pick him up. So we'll be going from 11 to 2 Central.
And then 7 p.m. I see. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, then 4 hours later, we've got Tommy Sewell. And if something happens to us or him, we can do it on Thursday, which is, of course, that's his Wednesday and Friday.
Right.
Because, like I said, they're 16 hours ahead of us. So I'm looking forward to that. And
me too.
Yeah. And FTJ is growing, and it wouldn't exist, obviously. It wouldn't be what it is without all the people in the audience.
Sure, and, absolutely. Such good people.
Yeah, they really are.
Spread the word. Yeah. By the way, word of mouth. You know, if you know anybody who's like starting to wake up and they're eating babies, so tell those people to come to FDJmedia.com and check it out. Check out the archives. Check out the great host. I mean, we have such an amazing array of interesting hosts these days.
And, I mean, just your show right here, G. Mm-hmm. You've got just the FTJ people, 180. So like with that Holocaust summit, we had 2,500 FTJ people, but over 2,500 non-FTJ people.
Right.
So we had over 5,000 people that day.
Watching live, right?
Yeah, and it withstood that crowd. So, I mean, you've been over 200, I know, but I mean, it's doing nothing but growing. So,
well, actually, if you factor in all the anons just watching, I regularly get between 1,000 and 3,000 live over at the X platforms and this platform.
It's huge.
And then the archival viewing at my website and FTJ's archives, I end up between about 7,500 and 10,000 viewers per show. That's pretty good.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
Just for shooting the shit.
Just for telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
There's something to be said for that. So, all right, finally, what a great, great honor it is to work with all these legends. I want to thank UK Steve, Pastor Eli. He'll be back in a few weeks. And Dave Gahari, James Mason. And it's just, you know, don't forget all the other people who pop in. Sometimes it's Paul Fromm. Sometimes it's Jan Lambrecht and more. And, you know, spread the word. I didn't think about that. You know, people are getting stunned by this Kike overreach. So tell them about FTJ Media. Word of mouth is a powerful tool to, you know, we can recruit ones and twos. They turn into tens and twenties. Before you know it, we're going to be adding hundreds of new people, because what other platform other than this can you get adult discussion with great humor and great insight? You know, a lot of these other platforms, they do kind of mean-spirited shit like pop in and mock little 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds who shouldn't be on the internet that way anyway. But so this is really the platform for the future. You know, there's YouTube for the Jews and for the woke and the trannies and the faggots and the pedos and the cannibals. And there's FTJ, the antithesis of YouTube, because it's for whites and it's for white men and women, traditional men and women. We're advocating for whites to meet, marry, fall in love, and have 10 white babies each. And at the same time, we're slowly realizing you have to put together political power and look at what Les Borey's doing, and we're going to continue to support those incipient efforts in the United States and every first world country. And ultimately, we will win. I mean, can you imagine living your life in service to a disgusting demon like Baphomet, which is all the tranny bullshit, or Baal, which is the child cannibalism, or Moloch, which is child sacrifice and cannibalism? I mean, how sick are you to be attracted to anything that has to do with raping a little boy or girl, 3-year-old, then torturing them for adrenochrome, then harvesting their organs, then eating their remains? I mean, really? That's the way you want to live your life as a white man or woman? Come with us. We've already won because we serve the divine. The divine honors nature. You know, the brilliant FTJ Pro rising stars here at FTJ, Non-Kosher Sultan, Ava, Wolf, Fashbird, are doing this Fash Academy for Nazi newbies, and that's the path. You got to get over your imprinting, your literal brainwashing from these vile kikes that tell you that, Nazis bad, Jews, 6 million died. Oh, what a tragedy. What a Shoah. That's all bullshit. Everything that the kike, the vile kike, blames on decent white men and women, especially the heroes of Germany, they did. The East was the death camps. The East was the sick experimentation. That's Soviet Bolshevik 1.0 Jews. And so now more than ever, not just embrace that we're playing for the winning side, but we have to take it up a notch. Because, look, seriously, not one more white man or woman, I don't give a fuck what happens to all the mystery meats and the 75 IQ niggers who are joining the service. You know, get rid of them. But I do care about white men and women, because ultimately it's our mission to regrow the white race, to re-empower the white race, to fucking say once and for all, wipe the vile kike off the planet. TKD for Why Are You. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you on Wednesday. Don't forget, could be tomorrow, Mason, Gahari, and Sewell. If that doesn't deserve a hail victory, what does? God bless us all. We've already won. See you Wednesday. All right.